How's it going, aviators? What a pleasure it is to have you back today listening to The Aviator's Guide. I'm your host, Holly Blino, and I am so thankful to have you back here for episode 9. This is a special episode because it's the start of a series I'm going to be doing. A series featuring something every pilot has to do at one point or another. And no, it's not about buying textbooks or prepping for your next check ride. It's about building your flight time. Or more so, how to build your flight time. Did you even know that there's so many different ways for you to build your flight hours that I have to make multiple episodes about it? Well, strap in, guys, because we have a lot to talk about, as usual. And I'll be covering one or two items per episode until I finish going over everything that you guys could possibly do to build your flight time, at least that I can think of. No matter what your aviation goals are after flight school or where you want to end up, you have to collect some real-world flight experience before you can make your way into the world of professional piloting. As much as we would all love to buy, or depending on your skill level, build an aircraft so we can flit around the country, going from state to state, buying $100 hamburgers with our friends, it's not really a feasible option for most general aviators like myself. So let's talk about some more practical ways of building flight hours until you can get to that stage in your life where you can buy your own aircraft if you want to. So make sure you're subscribed or following my channel so you don't miss out on all the ways that you could build your flight hours. Currently, I'm a professional pilot flying for a private company, but I was a CFI, or Certified Flight Instructor, for almost 2 years. So that's what we're going to talk about today, being a CFI. And it's not only what I did to build my flight hours, but it's what the vast majority of all of my friends in aviation did as well to build their hours. It's the most common route. It's the one that I feel like pilots are steered towards the most to do, but it's not the only one. And knowing that there are other things to do besides be a CFI is really good, especially for those of you who don't want to be a CFI. It's not for everybody. If you don't want to be a CFI, you probably shouldn't be a CFI, if you catch my drift. In order to be a CFI, you have to like teaching, you have to like people, or at least if you don't, act like you do. You have to be prepared for each lesson you teach, meaning you have to study. That's right, even though you're out of flight school, you have to keep studying, but that's really no matter where you go for the rest of your life as a pilot. You have to remember what it was like to be a brand new pilot. Back when you were a wee little aviator, not knowing what the four forces of flight were or how to sump fuel. Because if you forget what it was like to be a brand new pilot, that's not going to help your attitude or your student. And speaking of that, you have to have patience. If you don't have any, make sure you go get some first. It's too bad that they don't sell that on Amazon. If you don't think you can do those four things that I just mentioned, maybe being a CFI isn't for you and you should think of something else you should do. Because even though you would only have to be a CFI for 1 to 2 years to build your flight hours, you don't want to be unhappy that whole time doing something that you hate. And also that unhappiness of being a CFI will definitely reflect onto your student. Good CFIs breed good, safe pilots. And that's what we want in aviation. So think back to your CFI. Did you like them? How did you respond to their teaching methods? Did you respect them? Did you trust them? When you become a CFI, think about your own experience and how you would like to use what your instructors did or did not do for you. I personally had a couple of great instructors that I remember, and I definitely pulled some of their own methods into my teaching. And I'm not saying that you necessarily would be an awful CFI if you don't want to be a CFI, but I think you should consider these other options that I'm going to talk about later in the series, especially if you think it would be better for you. And now I'm going to mention some of the biggest mistakes that newer instructors make when they're starting out. So listen up. The first one is not taking the law of primacy seriously. This really just means that whatever you teach your student first is what's usually going to stick. So don't just tell your student something because you think it's right. Make sure you know that it's right. It's okay not to know everything. You're not going to know everything as a CFI. So if you don't know something, just tell them, hold on, let's look that up together. Or one of my favorites as an instructor when I forgot something is, where would you find that? We can't know everything and it's okay. We're not perfect. We're only human. Another one is not studying enough. Just because you're no longer in flight school does not mean that you should stop studying. You have to keep studying for your lessons with your students so you can teach them the proper things. Also, aviation is fluid and things change. So make sure that you are staying up to date on all the information. Another big no-no as an instructor is not caring. You have to care, even if you're having a bad day, okay? You're there for the student. You're there to make them the best pilot they can be. A really common one that doesn't make you a bad instructor at all, it just means you're a new instructor, is being on the controls too much. I know it's a little terrifying at first to have this brand new baby pilot controlling the aircraft, especially when it comes to landings or some maneuvers. Just give them a chance to do it themselves, talk them slowly through it, and have your hands just hovering over those controls. And if they don't mess up, they're not going to learn. Your job as an instructor is to teach them and stop them before they mess up too badly and make sure they don't harm the aircraft or anybody. So again, don't be on the controls too much. You will start to feel when you need to take over, okay? Another issue is instructors that don't take notes enough about your flight. You're going to have probably 4 to 7, maybe even more students when you're an instructor. Taking notes in flight or even on ground lessons is crucial so that you can keep up with where your student is at and what you're doing next. So take those notes and record them somewhere. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, and I will say it many, many times. You cannot forget what it was like to be a new student. You were once there knowing nothing. So try not to get frustrated and just be patient. They'll get there. Everyone started out not knowing anything. Okay. Moving on. To legally be a CFI, you have to have your CFI license and preferably your CFII rating so that you can teach instrument to students as well. You have to make sure that you stay current as a CFI, and to do that, you have to complete your FERC flight instructor refresher course every 24 calendar months. And when I say you have to keep your CFI license current by completing your FERC every 24 calendar months, that does not mean that it will expire in 24 calendar months. And that's because as of December 1st, 2024, the FAA has decided to remove the expiration date from CFI licenses. So there will no longer be an expiration date on that license. However, you still need to do some sort of activity to remain current as a CFI. But that is rather exciting for CFIs out there, knowing that there is now more of a grace period. And if you do accidentally let your license lapse, you don't have to take another check ride. You just complete a FERC. To see the details of this new ruling established by the FAA, see the link in my show notes. You also have to keep up with the basics as well, like your biennial flight review every 24 calendar months and your instrument currency as well. And then lastly, to make it all worth it as a CFI, you have to get students or clients to teach. To get clients, you can do one of two things. You can work at a flight school or you can do freelance instructing. It doesn't matter which one you do, you're going to build your hours either way, but it's really based on personal preference. And just like everything else in life, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. I chose to go the flight school route, and I am more than happy that I did because I got to work for, in my very humble opinion, the best flight school ever. It's called Stature Aviation if you want to go look it up. I loved working there for so many reasons. I got to fly the nicest, most well-maintained Cirrus aircraft. As a side note, safe planes that have regular maintenance is very important to me. I wouldn't want to work at a flight school where the maintenance is lacking. I had autonomy as an instructor. A few examples of that are we had specific days that we had to be on, and we of course had our off days. And then on our on days, we had to schedule our own clients. We were given clients, but we had to just maintain them on the schedule. So it was kind of like running your own mini business in a way. They give you your clients and then you keep them on the schedule, keep them happy, keep them coming in and get them all trained and then checked out. Another example is if the weather was bad, they trust you to cancel on an as-needed basis. Whereas some flight schools I know about, they make you go up and fly even if there's storms in the area or icing in the air. That's not really something I liked to do. So I liked that I wasn't forced to go fly just because I was scheduled. They never make you do anything that you feel uncomfortable with. I was recognized and rewarded for my hard work, just like all the other employees. I got paid more than I would have if I were at any other flight school. I had PTO and benefits. I had awesome clients who were dedicated, respectful, and professional. Not to mention the facilities are beautiful. I didn't have to deal with any flight school politics, if you will, like there are at other larger flight schools. And my boss was amazing. He cares about his employees. He cares about the clients. He has a deep-rooted passion for aviation, and all of that comes across in how he decides to run his business. To say the least, it was a sad day for me when I finally left Stature, and anyone who gets to work there should definitely consider themselves lucky, because at Stature, the grass is definitely greener, and it is for sure a diamond in the rough. So besides the advantages of the flight school that I worked at, let's go over the advantages of working at a flight school in general. The big one is you are given clients. You don't have to go find clients. You don't have to advertise for them. They're given to you by the school, which is super helpful. You also don't have to worry about finding an aircraft. You'll just use the aircraft that the school owns. The flight school should also take care of the insurance side for you, which is pretty important. There's an organized syllabus for you to follow along when you're training your students, usually. You also get to use the flight school's facilities, whether they have a simulator or any training rooms. And you also have your peers to help you out. So if you have a general aviation question, or maybe you just need some advice on help with a particular student, you have your fellow aviators around you to help you with that. Now, if you decide you want to do freelance instructing instead of going to a flight school, you could potentially make more money. You could charge more per hour than you would make at a normal flight school. As almost every flight school I've heard of, besides Stature, gets $20 an hour and nothing else. No salary, no commission, nothing. And they only get paid when they're in the plane. However, I did hear about a flight school up in Alaska that pays $45 an hour. Maybe there could be others like that. Just look around and see what you can find. Another perk of freelancing is you get to pick your own clients and you can basically work whenever you want. But then again, you have to find your own clients and find aircraft to use. So freelancing could take some more effort up front to get started. So which one sounds better to you guys? Working for a flight school or freelancing? Maybe neither of them sounds good to you, and that's okay. We'll find out what else works for you. Make sure to tune in next Friday for some more ways that you can build your flight time. And I'm filming with my DPE, Designated Pilot Examiner, next week. So if you haven't sent in your DPE questions yet, go ahead and do so to youraviatorsguide@gmail.com. Stay current and keep flying. See you later, aviators.